In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we have here today something beautiful from the book of Exodus. Have you ever wondered what God's name is?
Have I ever wondered what?
What God's name is. The name of God.
The name of God. Jesus.
So there we have it. We have the name of Jesus. But back in the Old Testament, they didn't have the name of Jesus, did they?
No.
They didn't know who he was. They just knew that there would be a promised Messiah who would come, which means a promised anointed one of God. But in the Old Testament, we actually do get the name of God. God, not just God the Father, not just God the Son, who is Jesus Christ, not just God the Holy Spirit, but who is God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He gives us his own name here. He gives it to Moses. Moses is wondering, hey, look, God, you're sending me to go bail your people out, to set them free from the land of Egypt. Well, how are they going to know which God you are? These people of pagan times, they have a God who they say, this one's the God of the Nile River. This one's the God of the sun. This other one is the God of the trees and the plants. And this one is the God of these particular four-legged animals and those particular four-legged animals. They had a God who would reign over locusts and a God who would reign over flies and a God who would send hail and a God who would send rain and all these other ones. So he says, you are the real God. But how am I going to identify you? If I just say general God, they're going to say which one to me. And then I'm going to look like a fool.
How did they identify him?
Yeah.
That's a good question, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, you know what? When you look through the scriptures, what you'll find is that the Hebrews, which are those before they had Israel, before they were identified merely as Israelites, had called them Hebrews. And so they said the God of the Hebrews. But it was at this scripture passage right here from Exodus chapter 3 that God, for the first time ever in history, gives his name. And what does it say right there? It says his name. He says, I am who am. So what is that? God is saying, I am. It's probably the most literal thing in all of Scripture. Most literal thing for who God is in all of Scripture. Because God says, I am, which means to say, I am existence. I am he who is.
Right.
I am he who exists.
Yes.
What more do you need to know? I am the only one who exists, the only God. That's what he's saying with here. Everybody else who identifies as God, not God.
No.
It's me. I am who am. He's saying, I am the source of all existence, the source for everything who is. It's a philosophical concept, but also something that you and I can have a relationship with. Now, when you and I want a name, like Rita.
And what?
Like with you, Rita. When I have your name, it means I have a power, right? Because when I said your name, what did you do? You jumped too, right? You paid attention.
Yes.
And that's what happens when you have somebody's name. You have an ability to call them out. You have an ability to get their attention. You have ability to identify who they are. And so it's as though you can have a control over a person who you have their name. Can you control somebody very easily if you don't know what their name is? You don't know who to tell who to do something, right? You can't just say, you do this. Or if you're talking about somebody, you don't know how to identify who they are. You just say that person who was wearing this or who was wearing that. That's not very helpful, is it? That's why sometimes it's tough for the police to apprehend somebody who's a suspect. Because they say, well, I don't know who he was, but I know he was wearing this shirt. He had a ball cap. He maybe had a scar or a tattoo in this way. I don't know his name.
Identify. Yeah.
And so what God is doing here is saying, you want to have control over me in some ways. You want to have a name so that you can tell me what to do. But that's not what I'm going to give you. He says instead, I am who am. Meaning, I am that which you aren't able to define. You aren't going to be able to have power over me. I'm God. I have power over you. Know that I am he who exists. That's a powerful thing.
It is.
So in the Old Testament, God keeps himself at a distance from men. He lets himself come close. He says, you can call upon me. He says, I'm going to take care of you. But he still has to remain a distance away from people. But we know, as you said at the beginning, Rita, God doesn't stay at a distance from us because he gives us a name to call his son. And what's that name? What's the name of God's son?
Jesus.
Yeah. That's right. And so in the Old Testament, they didn't have a personal name in which to call upon God. But in the New Testament, they do. Now, as in the life in Christ, we know who God's name is, and his name is Jesus. And this Jesus wants us to come close to him, which is exactly what that second, what that gospel passage speaks about. Jesus says to them, I want you to come to me. I want you to come to me. If you find life burdensome, if you find life hard, if you find that you have lots of suffering in your life, if you find that You're unwell and wondering why you exist, what you're still around for. So God is inviting to a deeper closeness and a deeper relationship in this new covenant, in Christ, in Jesus. So we can call him by name, so we can reach out to him and say, I know who you are. And his reaction to that is to say, not only do you need do what you really want from me is that to find a rest. And so I invite you to come closer to me. And so that's why at the back of this page, at the back, that beautiful image of Jesus holding a little child. So I want you to look at that image and see that image of the little child. It's on the back of your program for this service. To look at that image, and I want you to see that child as you. Each of you are that child. And this is what Jesus wants to do to you. But I'm going to read this passage of Scripture and see our Lord in your mind. Imagine as you're looking there, our Lord Jesus saying these words to you because he is. That's what the gospel is all about. Jesus speaking to us. So what does he say there? He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon your shoulders and learn from me, for my yoke is humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke it is easy, and my burden is light. And so our Lord, what he wants to do is not to remain distant from people like he did in the Old Testament, leading them from a distance, watching over them in a cloud overhead to lead them out of the land of Egypt, showing them from a cloud and from a hidden way. But our Lord Jesus wants to be as close to you as possible, which means just like this image on the back, that he wants to carry you like a little girl, to place you upon his lap when you're scared, when you don't understand what's going on, when you don't know why you're suffering. And he wants to embrace you and hold you close to his breast. And through that, to be able not to take away your pain, but to be with you in the midst of your pain. That's what our Lord does. He wants to be with you in the very center of all things. And still, there's something even greater. Because right now, if you've prepared yourself, you're going to be able to receive Holy Communion.
Yes.
So not only will Jesus be holding us from the outside, comforting us from the outside, but in the Eucharist, as Catholics, unlike any other person in the entirety of the world, Jesus wants to come inside us and comfort us from the inside so that he can be even more intimate with ourselves, with us, than we are even with our own selves. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.